You know, we've been talking a lot about culture and about relevance and influence. And so this morning, I want to talk about that with you guys, as well as everybody else who's going to listen in. And so if you have your cell phones on you, you may silence them at this time. No. you can put them on airplane mode. It works really well. Okay. I'm going to tell you a story. There's a scientific study that was done. And they used five monkeys in this study. So I want you to picture in your mind five monkeys and a ladder that's in their cage. And at the top of the ladder are bananas. This is a true story. And so they put these five monkeys in this cage. And they start to mill around, and they see the bananas on the top of the ladder, and one monkey starts to climb the ladder, and as soon as the monkey starts to climb the ladder, he gets sprayed by cold water, and it forces him back down the ladder. But while he's getting sprayed, everybody at the bottom of the cage is getting sprayed too with cold water. And so they mill around, and they do a little bit more of that. And then another monkey gets brave, and he starts to climb the ladder. And as soon as he gets up about three-quarters of the way, the water comes on, and they spray him and douse him along with all the other monkeys in the cage. The third one does the same thing, and the fourth one does the same thing, and the fifth one does the same thing. And all of a sudden, by the time they get the fifth one, as soon as somebody starts to climb the ladder, they start clawing at him, pulling him down as far as they can and as fast as they can, because they know they're going to get sprayed if they don't. So the experimenters then takes one of those monkeys out of the cage and puts another one back in who now is dry. He doesn't know about the water. He just sees the bananas. And so he starts to climb the ladder, but no farther did he get up two steps on the ladder, but all the rest of the monkeys pull him down. No water was sprayed. So they take out another wet monkey out of the cage and put another dry monkey in, and he starts to climb the ladder. And now, not only does the dry monkey and the wet monkeys pull him down, but they all pull him down before he ever gets to the first step. They do this with all the rest of the monkeys. And by the time they get to the fifth monkey, any one of those monkeys that tries to come climb that ladder, they're all dry. They never got sprayed in their entire life, okay? But not one monkey will let another monkey climb the ladder to get to the bananas. That is a description of culture. Okay? By the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, you are moving from one monkey cage to another monkey cage. All right? Seriously, you have been in a monkey cage, so to speak, and you've been trained and you've been put, things have gone into your life, and you have had lots of things given to you over this time, and now you're going to jump out of that cage and you're going to go to another cage, another cultural experience. And in that cultural experience, whoever is in that cultural experience is going to try and cause you to stay inside of their culture. The culture you've experienced here is one of support and care and kindness and faith. And the one you're going to has its own set of values. And you just need to understand that they're going to try and bring you down. And the only way you're going to be relevant in that society is through some things we're going to talk about this morning. So we've been talking about this idea of relevance and influence in our culture. We understand that the culture has pushed us to the outside of the cage, so to speak, okay? And as you think about that, I want you just to remember this story of Zacchaeus that we've been talking about. And I want you to ask, I want to ask you this question right here. How will you be relevant in your culture and remain faithful to your beliefs? How are you going to do that? Now, we hear all the time that your generation and the generation just in front of you are all abandoning the church. My question is why? My question is why does someone who grows up in this environment abandon this environment? Why do you abandon faith when you've been given faith? And so, how will you remain relevant in your culture and remain faithful to your faith? Well, that's a really good question. And by the way, I'm at this point no longer talking just to these adult students here, but to everyone in this room, because we all are in a cage of monkeys and we're getting pulled down regularly. So how do we remain relevant in that? So the story of Zacchaeus, as you've been listening to me the last several weeks, you know the story. So Jesus comes into this area called Jericho, and he's walking down there, and we've talked about the fact that probably Matthew knew Zacchaeus, and so Matthew says, look, there's Zacchaeus in the tree, and Jesus walks over to the tree and understands that Zacchaeus is a powerful man, that he is a rich man, and there's no reason for him to be in the tree. And so he looks up, he calls him by name, and says, I'm going to your house today. And he has compassion on this man, and as well as he has an influence on him, because last week we saw that Zacchaeus became a believer in Jesus Christ and started to follow him with his life. So here's my question. Why did Jesus bother with Matthew and Zacchaeus? Why did he even bother with these guys? You know, he could have gone straight to the cross. He could have gone, man, he could have foregone the cross. He could have done what he wanted to do. Why did he bother? Maybe the bigger question is, why does he even bother with us? Why does he care about you and me? We know he does, but the question is why? Now, this can be seen in one word, and that's the word purpose. Purpose is everything in life. It's absolutely the one thing that you cannot live without. Well, I take that back. You can live without it. You can live without purpose. But you will spend your life trying to figure out what life is if you don't have purpose. Now, we have tried over the course of 18 years to give you guys purpose. But you know, it's not something I can take your head and open it up and pour the purpose in and then close the head back up and say, oh man, shake it up a little bit. You got it, okay? It doesn't work that way, okay? No one can give you purpose unless you choose to accept it. Think about that a minute. Why do people go into a different cage, into a different cultural environment, and why do they abandon faith? Because they have no purpose. They have no reason to hang on to it. It's just something I did in this culture, and when I go to this culture, I do something different. It's no big deal. We're just a bunch of monkeys anyway. Well, really, that's what they try to tell you here. And so the question is, why? Why did Jesus do this? It's because he had a very specific purpose. And the purpose is found in the last verse of this story. And I purposely left this to the very end because it's the most important verse in the whole story. It is the reason for the story. And this is what it says. After Jesus says that this man Zacchaeus has become a Christian, he has chosen to follow me. He is a true son of Abraham. And then it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So as you look at this verse, first of all, the Son of Man is Jesus. That's the name he uses for himself, the Son of Man. It says the Son of Man came. Why did he come? Why would the God of the universe choose to take on this fleshly form that we all know as our bodies? Why did he choose to take on this fleshly form and do what he did? Why did he come into this world? I mean, he is perfect and came into an imperfect world. Why? It says, he came to seek. He's looking for somebody. He came into this world, took on a body like yours and mine, to look for somebody. And it says, and to save. Save from what? Those people who are lost. Well, why are they lost? Or what does it mean to be lost? Well, think about being lost. So you go into the woods and you get turned around and around here, there's no woods around here you can get lost in. Okay? There are a few woods in this world where you can get lost. Okay? I remember a story that my son, Aaron, was telling me about a time when he was hunting. And he grew up hunting in Nebraska where you can never get lost. Okay? Within a mile or something, you can find another road. Okay? But in Montana, there are no roads where he was hunting. And he got down to this canyon, and he could not find his way out, and it got dark. And now he's starting to think about, how am I going to make it out of here? Because it's getting cold, and he has no other coat on him but what he has on. So he has no survival gear with him whatsoever. And he's down at the bottom of this canyon, and he is lost. And he's looking for a way out. He's lost. He doesn't know which direction to go. He doesn't know where he's going, nor how he's going to get to that location. Now, in that particular story, his father-in-law was looking for him. And his father-in-law came to the rim of this canyon that he was in, and he shined his lights into the canyon. Aaron saw the lights, went to the lights. The Son of Man came to the canyon that you're in, and he shined his lights for you because you're lost. People of our cultures are lost, literally. They don't know which way to go. That's why they'll do anything that they want to do, no matter what they say. That's why they will abandon faith, because they've never found faith. If you abandon faith, did you ever have faith? If you know God, why would you ever give up on God? You see, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That was his purpose. That was the reason that drove his entire life. One solitary idea. I came to seek people who don't know where they're going, who have no peace, who have no security, who have no significance, who do not have anything in life, but they're trying every other aspect of life to figure it out. Yesterday we ran into a young man. We were in Kansas City and in this arcade, and I've thought about this since we were down there, Rosemary. We ran into this young black man, and he's showing the kids how to win at a game, okay? I mean, he was cranking out the tickets, wasn't he, Josiah? Yeah, he was. This guy was great. And after he got done, he started talking to us about what he was doing. He had just taken a test at Ford Motor Company, and he says, this will be the first job I've really ever had, he says, because the last 5 years of my life have been wasted on drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff. And he says, I'm just starting to come out of it. And I didn't hear him say this, but Rosemary, what did he say to you? God's amazing. So evidently he had found God. Now he didn't say that to me. He said that to Rosemary. But here's a man who had found purpose in his life. And now, it was interesting because he had a light in his eyes. He was a cool dude. And for him to just spend time throwing balls, and he handed 500 tickets to the boys over here because he didn't need them. Son of Man came to seek and to save. He had a purpose in his life. The Son of Man. Jesus did, okay? Because he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to look for you or me. But he chose to. So, let's go back to this story again. Remember, Jesus had compassion on Zacchaeus, and he had relevance. He had relationship in his life. And may I suggest to you that all these things, compassion plus relationship equals influence, and actually has relevance, has no value in your life. None whatsoever, unless you have purpose. If you don't have purpose, all this stuff is just a waste of time. Because you have compassion for somebody, and you really don't know why you have compassion for them. And you build a relationship with them, but you really don't know why you have a relationship with them. To influence them, well, you know what? You can say that in this culture out here with the monkeys who are pulling you down off the ladder, because they have compassion on you because they don't want you to get sprayed. And they have influence over your life because they're going to mass bring you down, and that's going to, they have a relationship, and so it works both ways, you see? But purpose is what gives it its meaning. Purpose is what gives it its relevance. You know, this is a statement about Jesus. It says, and this is right after he talks to Matthew, and he goes to Matthew's house, and they had this party with all these disreputable people, and it says, healthy people don't need a doctor. We know that. Okay? Most men know that. They think they're always healthy. They don't ever need doctors. Sick people do. Yeah, they do. People who are sick do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scriptures. He's talking to these religious zealots who think they've got it all together. And he says, I want you to learn the meaning of the scriptures. They know this scripture. They know this by heart. Jesus says, I want you to, he says, this is scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. In other words, just don't come to church and do the thing at church. Okay? It has no meaning unless you offer mercy with it. And then he gives his purpose statement again. For I have come to call those, not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I have come to call the sinner to come to me so that I can save him. You see, Jesus says this very thing. He says, purpose is everything. So I want to ask you this first question, and that is, why are you going to the place you're going? Jonah, you're going to the university. Okay, I don't want you to answer this question now, but I do want you to answer the question someday. Why are you going to the university? Why are you going to Wartburg? Why are you guys going to NIAC? Why are you going to Indonesia? That's home, I know. But what's going to happen after home? Brianna, what's going to happen at Kirkwood? Why are you going there? Why are you doing this? You know, let's just go down through the list here. Why are you going to a community college? Or trade school? Well, let me broaden this out a little bit. Why are you all going to work tomorrow? What is your purpose in going to work tomorrow? Is it so you can put seeds in the ground so that you can earn money to pay for your, to take care for your kids? Is it to make sure you got food on the table? Is it so that you can buy more stuff? Why are you going to work tomorrow? Why are you going to school? Why do you even bother? What is your purpose in life? You see, purpose is everything. If you have no purpose, you have nothing. You're just going to go about life like everybody else and let the monkeys pull you off the ladder when you wanted to climb because you have no purpose. You see, your purpose determines your direction. The purpose determines your direction. So, we come back to Jesus because he's our purpose person. He knows why he's here. And so it says here that Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching the synagogues and announcing the good news of the kingdom. So why did he bother to go to every town in the village? He could have gone there because, whoa, this is Jesus, and we get to watch this dude, you know? He could have gotten there for his own self-esteem and his old pretense, okay? But it says there, as he went into these places, he healed every kind of disease and illness, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Those people had no purpose. Sheep without a shepherd. No direction, no movement. They're just kind of wandering around in a field. Drove to Nebraska this last week and we're watching these cows out there, and Rosemary's comment was, man, what would it be like just to eat and sleep all day long? What is the purpose of a cow? Why do they eat and sleep? Well, their purpose is to raise babies and to provide meat for the food chain. That's why God made them. It says here that Jesus had compassion on those who were lost. And he healed them. Why did he heal them? He didn't heal them so that they could be healed. That doesn't make sense, I know, but it does. He didn't heal these people so they could be healed. He healed them so they would see him as the most powerful person on this earth, and they would come to him and say, you know what, you healed me, therefore I believe in you, and I will follow you no matter where you're going. See, healing was never intended for the sake of the healing. The healing was always intended for the sake of the purpose, to seek and to save those who are lost. Purpose is everything, and if you students here, and students out there beyond, if you don't have a purpose, by the way, you adults, if you don't have a purpose, you need to get one. You see, Jesus goes on one more statement, and he says, Jesus saw a huge crowd, and he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. Why did he bother to step out of the boat? Here's the question. Why are you doing whatever you are doing? Why? You know, some people say to me, why did you change from being a teacher to being a pastor? It's because God called me with a very specific call. Now, you talk about calling, but what a calling is purpose. That's what it is. You see, the difference between teaching high school industrial arts and teaching adults and students in a faith-based situation is just content. It's just content. That's all it is. I use the same methods now that I used then. It's very similar. The difference is in purpose. Why do I do what I do now? Because God asked me to do this. To help seek and to save those who are lost. To take on his purpose as my purpose. And that's the point of all this. If you don't walk into your next area, the next cage you're going to get into, this culture cage, if you don't walk into there with this purpose, as my job, my reason for being here is to get an education, but more than that, it is to seek and to save those who are lost around me. If you don't enter with that, you will get washed away by the monkeys in this cage. They're going to pull you down, and they're going to wash you out, and they're going to say, you know what, you're no different than us. And you have to say, no, I am different. I'm different because I have compassion on you, and I want to offer you mercy. I want to build a relationship with you because I want you to know the one who has influenced my life and has changed me, has given me a purpose, a reason to live. You see, purpose results in relevance. You're going to be relevant to your culture. In fact, you're going to climb the ladder and get the bananas, and you're going to hand the bananas back to those people at the bottom. And you're going to say, here, see, I didn't get sprayed. You can have a banana. You're going to feed their hunger. You're going to feed their need. And then you're going to teach them how to climb the ladder of compassion and relationship and influence, all based upon the purpose of your life. You know, there was a young man in the Old Testament who had purpose. I'm not going to stay very long on this one because you know this guy. Okay, his name is Daniel. Well, Daniel was jerked from his cage and put in a cultural cage that was totally different than his. And they wanted to feed him different bananas. And he said, no, I don't want those bananas. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Purposed. In other words, Daniel had a purpose. He knew why he was there. He was there to obey his God, not the king. And he trusted his God more than the king. You see, the scripture tells us that we are ambassadors of God. And he appeals to other people through us. You are God's representative. This is our purpose. Above all other things, this is your purpose. I'm a representative of God, and people see God through me. If I'm a follower of Christ, then they ought to see Christ in me, so that they can know this Christ that I know. If they don't, that I have failed at my purpose, and I'm no longer an ambassador. I'm just a client of the king. Now, a client of the king just is getting stuff from the king, okay? But an ambassador of the king is giving stuff that the king has given him to give away. You've been given a responsibility. In fact, all of us have been given this responsibility to give away what God has given to us. That is, be merciful to the people around us. Establish relationships, no matter who you are, where you're at. And I think about this young man we met yesterday, and I thought to myself, that was a God moment. And you know what? Rosemary saw it, and I didn't. Until it was almost done. And then all of a sudden, the lights came on. It's kind of like, this is a God moment. Why aren't you talking to this guy? Not that he needed to know Christ, because I don't think he did, but that it was a moment of seeing how God works in lives and brings people together. So even when you have purpose, sometimes you miss things. But the point is, do you learn from those things? And I would say, yes, we are his ambassadors. We are relevant in this post-church era, this culture that just wants to pull us off the ladder. We are relevant in this culture when our purpose comes to being there for the other monkeys that are around us. That's why we're here. To meet their needs with compassion, not to judge them for being all wet and soggy and not climbing the ladder and being afraid. Okay? It's not that we judge them. It's that we see that as a need and we say, how can I meet that need? We build a relationship to say, hey, let's climb the ladder together. Then we influence them, giving them opportunities that we've been given. Because the purpose that we've been given is Jesus' purpose, to seek and to save those which are lost. Now, we don't save them, but we do seek them. You see, that's why this church has a motto that says, pursuing people with the passion of God. We pursue people just like God pursued us. He didn't have to come, but he did. He chose us. I want to encourage you, students, young adults, you will face some challenges that you are unaware of today. When you face those challenges, your eyes may be a little bit closed, like mine were with this young man down in Kansas City. But I pray that God would open your eyes before you go too far. I pray that God would open your eyes to the purpose he's given to you, and you go wherever you go because it's God who's asked you to do it. Not because you think you ought to, not because somebody told you you should, but because you know that God's called you. He has purposed you to go there because there's somebody there that he's got an appointment with God, and you're the one who's going to be the appointment and it's going to reflect Jesus to him. That's the reason you're going. It's to find the people that God has got an appointment with you, with them, for him. Lord God, we thank you for these students. And we thank you that you have appointments for them. Their schedule is already booked, Lord. And you're just waiting for them to get there and to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to do what you want me to do because I have your purpose. And out of their purpose, Lord, may their relevance through compassion and relationship yield influence in the lives of people. Lord God, you are a good God, and you've set some things in order. And even us adults, we need to learn and relearn this point, which is purpose is everything. Lord Jesus, thank you for your purpose, and you're showing it to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.